The 2024 NFL Draft heads to Detroit, and it's time to see who gets the job.
Caleb is a unique and special talent throwing the football.
And what sets them apart.
The Heisman Trophy winner is Jaden Daniels.
All of the greats were hired here.
What a throw by Mahomes.
See who gets the job.
Are you ready?
The 2024 NFL Draft begins Thursday, April 25th on ESPN, ABC, and NFL Network.
Good morning. It is time to get up with major news from the major leagues. One team already having its season threatened by corona concerns. We've got you covered right off the top. Then, a huge trade in the NFL. Did it send Seattle to the Super Bowl? And did it send me into a glass case of emotion? Plus, Lou Will, what are you doing? Wait till you hear what this star was doing outside the NBA bubble. We've got all that and a whole lot more as we get up with you starting right now on a very busy Monday. Bristol, Connecticut, Mike Greenberg here. Delighted you have chosen to be there and get up with us on this Monday. We will get to the huge NFL trade and all of its ramifications, including my well-being in just a moment. But we begin with a developing story, and it is this. Four Miami Marlins players have tested positive for the coronavirus, including pitcher Jose Urena, who was supposed to start yesterday in Philadelphia. Now, the Marlins have delayed their trip home from Philadelphia amid concerns about a possible outbreak. Here's their manager.
Fair to say that guys are concerned, right, about things, and that they want their feelings as part of how they're feeling about it, situations, to be heard. And I think it's fair. We're talking about health. We're talking about these guys traveling back to their homes and their families and their kids. And it's the reason we want to be safe.
So as I bring our insider Jeff Passan into the conversation here, I will make note of the fact that they are supposed to play a home game today. They spent last night in Philadelphia. So, Jeff, pick it up from there. What has happened with the Marlins and where is it going from here?
Yeah, Granny, following the four positive tests that they've had over the last 48 hours or so, there is concern inside of the Marlins organization about a potential outbreak, and not just an outbreak of those four players, but of even more. At this point, the extent of the true outbreak is unknown, but they continued to play yesterday against the Philadelphia Phillies, finishing their series there. And like you said, they're scheduled to play their home opener today against the Baltimore Orioles, but the fact that they canceled their flight to try and figure out what exactly the extent of that outbreak is before they travel is clearly a sign that something could potentially be wrong there. And that is horrifying for Major League Baseball, that less than a week into the season, there could be an outbreak inside of one of their clubhouses. And trying to figure out where to go from here, how to handle that, you know, the operations manual that they have for the league is 113 pages. It does not cover what to do in the extent of a large outbreak.
Yeah, outbreak is such a complicated word, and these are all such sort of new questions that we're dealing in sports. So at the risk of overstating this, I think I want to ask you, does it feel less than a week in as though one team's season, in this case the Marlins, is in some form of real jeopardy?
Well, Greeny, there's a reason that every team has an alternate site with dozens up to 30 players. And in the Marlins' case, theirs is in Jupiter, Florida, about 90 miles or so north of Miami. So it is conceivable that if the Marlins players, the major league players, were stuck in Philadelphia for the day, that the Marlins could theoretically ship an entire roster of players down to Miami and play them against the Baltimore Orioles. Would that happen? Probably not, but at this point, you know, we don't know how things are going to operate, and we don't know how long the Marlins are going to be in Philadelphia. What we do know is that the players who have tested positive, per the league's protocol, will be staying in the road city in which they've tested positive, along with at least one representative from the organization, until the point where they have multiple negative tests. And we don't know how long that is. You know, with some players, it takes a couple of days. With some players, it takes up to a month. So they could be spending a long time there in Philadelphia.
Look, I mean, if there's any good news in this, is that it had to have been predictable. This is certainly not going to take anyone by total surprise. And so We'll see. They have protocols in place. We'll see how they work. I know you have a million phone calls out there. Stay close. Jeff Passan is going to be close by throughout the show today if there is any developing story on this. Again, the Marlins are still in Philadelphia. They are supposed to play in Miami tonight. Stay close by. Meanwhile, to the NFL and the enormous trade from this weekend. According to our Adam Schefter, Jamal Adams is flying to Seattle today to undergo his physical after the Jets traded the all-pro safety to the Seahawks on Saturday for a package that includes another safety, Bradley McDougal, and two first-round draft picks. Since being drafted in 2017 out of LSU, Adams has been a do-it-all player. His position by trade is safety, but he's actually had more snaps at linebacker and defensive line combined than he's had at safety. And to show his versatility, he's had over 500 career snaps at corner as well. I can tell you he's a terrific player. The Jets got a lot for him. Let's dive into this. Look who's with us this morning. Booger McFarland is here. Jeff Saturday is here. And I will start with Diana Russini. Diana, take us inside how and why Seattle made this deal for Adams.
Well, you just pointed to it. Jamal Adams is the Swiss Army knife. So there's no question of what his ability is as this team is trying to rebuild that legion of boom. But GM John Schneider has never been afraid to take shots, right? We've seen him trade for Jimmy Graham, Percy Harvin, Jadeveon Clowney. They were willing to take the risk. And look, the conversations with the New York Jets organization started weeks ago. This wasn't one of these deals that came together, you know, in 24, 48 hours. But what did come together as it got closer was how much they were willing to trade to get Jamal Adams. So conversations got real serious about 4 days ago when the Jets were willing to listen even more to what Seattle was going to put on the table to add Jamal Adams, who's now part of the Seahawks.
So let's be clear on what you're saying here, because a lot of people will look at the fact that Jamal Adams was in the newspaper on Friday criticizing Adam Gase, the head coach, very loudly and other things, and then they trade him the following day. People will say the Jets decided they had to deal him after those comments. But you're telling me that isn't the reason the trade got made.
Yeah, the entire time the New York Jets organization has stayed with the fact and have been pretty committed to saying Jamal Adams will be on this team pretty much no matter what he was going to do. And we've all followed what he's done, which is a lot, to basically go up against this organization. That, I was told, had nothing to do. This all had to do with the price that the Seattle Seahawks were willing to pay to get him.
Okay, so now let's get into the football ramifications of this. Let's start with the Seattle side of it, because they're getting a great player. Booger McFarland, does this trade make Seattle the Super Bowl contender in your mind in the NFC?
Well, Green, I think they were already a Super Bowl contender with Russell Wilson. I think if you look at this team over the last several years, I mean, they were within one play of having home field advantage from the 49ers down by the goal line. They were always going to be that. Jamal Adams just strengthened their defense. Their defense gave up a few yards against the run. I want to say they averaged 4 to 4.5 yards against the run last year. Now you bring in a playmaker at the safety position. A lot of people are getting caught up on the position that Jamal Adams plays. I could care less, Greeny. I want guys that can make plays, and Jamal Adams is one of the best playmakers in the NFL. And when you put him in the system that Seattle runs, which is basically a single high cover three type system, he's going to be near the ball, and that's going to allow him to make some make a lot of plays. And I think this strengthens their defense. And Greeny, you know this. The first thing you have to do in the NFL is win your division. Well, who do you have to beat in that NFC West? You have to beat the San Francisco 49ers, and this allows them to go against maybe the most feared rushing team in our league and have one of the best playmaking safeties down stopping a run. So, yes, this strengthens their hold on what I think was an already rock-solid playoff spot this season.
Yeah, I didn't phrase the question well. I should have asked you if it makes them the favorite. Let me come to Jeff with that. How much of a difference? You're talking about probably the best division in football. You're talking about a vastly improved Arizona team, a Rams team that was in the Super Bowl 2 years ago, a Niners team that was in the Super Bowl last year, and the Seahawks, who have Russell Wilson and now Jamal Adams. In your mind, Jeff Saturday, are the Seahawks now the Super Bowl, are they the team to beat in the NFC?
No. And Jamal Adams didn't make them, to Booger's point, is he a great safety? Absolutely. Does he change this football team and make them now the Super Bowl contender? I do not believe so. I mean, I will get into positions. I mean, you're talking about a guy who does play around the ball. I understand that. But you're talking about, you know, George Kittle for the 49ers. Is this guy going to be a cover guy? No, he's going to be around the ball. He's going to try to slow down that rushing attack from the 49ers. What they gave up, in my opinion, does not lend itself to that type of position. I understand wanting playmakers. I understand all those arguments. But at the end of the day, are you getting the ball? How many times is he intercepting the ball? How many times is he transitioning this thing and flipping the field? All of those things matter to me. As good a player as he is, and he is an all-pro safety, I'm not taking anything away from him. But for me, for what they did, I don't think it pushes him over the top. I don't think they were that close, honestly, to begin with. I understand what Booger's saying. They have other positions that need to be addressed. Offensive line-wise, they have to get better. They have to play better. As good as Russell Wilson is, he's aging. You're asking him to do more and more and more with an offensive line that doesn't necessarily protect him great, and running backs who can, you know, who by the end of the season often are banged up or injured. You're bringing guys in. Listen, that's a tough look. Does a safety position address that? Not in my opinion. So from my side, I just don't think it puts him over the top.
I get that, but maybe with an aging quarterback who's as good as Russell Wilson, the time to go for it is right now, which is the time that you trade 2 first-round picks in order to try and go for it. Booger, you look skeptical. What's the look on your face?
Well, I'm just curious. When we're talking about Russell Wilson aging, is Russell Wilson 45? Like, did he age 10 years overnight? I mean, when Tom Brady's playing until he's into his early 40s, what is Russell, 33, 34 years old?
He's 32.
Listen, guys, I truly understand the skepticism of paying a premium of all those draft picks to get a player like Jamal Adams. Greeny, but this league is about playmakers. Can you make plays for my team? Can you make impact plays? Think about this, Greeny. In the history of the NFL, there have been 2 players that have had 200-plus tackles, 10-plus sacks, and 25 pass breakups. Jamal Adams and J.J. Watt. That's it. That's the history of the NFL. Greeny, that's a long time. I don't know if y'all know that, but the history of the NFL, that is a long time. He is an impact player. I don't care if he plays between the goalposts 40 yards back. This young man is a playmaker. And when you put him in that system and you have to stop the 49ers, let's not forget, that's the first thing you have to do in the NFL. You must win that division in order to host the home playoff game. I know the playoff format has changed, but you want to host that home playoff game. And in order to do that, they got to stop the most feared rushing attack in football. And I like the move. I understand you paid a lot for Adams, but I do think he's going to be an impact player.
Real quick, Jeff, real quick.
Yeah, let me say this. I understand what you're saying. You haven't paid him yet, right? You've already traded your picks. You still got to get your contract done for this to make the difference in the future. But what you're saying about Russell Wilson, his age, I understand Tom Brady. They also protected Tom Brady. Tom Brady didn't take the shots that Russell Wilson has to take because of the style of play. Russell Wilson's absolutely incredible. I'm protecting that guy. I mean, he always gives you a chance. You watch him in the fourth quarter. I mean, this guy, he does wear the S on his chest. I completely understand that. I'm all for him. But the physical toll he's taking on his body is completely different from a Breeze or a Brady just because of the style of play. And when you talk about J.J. Watt and Jamal Adams, I love the stats. How many Super Bowls we got? We about winning Super Bowls. If we're talking about pushing them over, that's what we're talking about. I'm saying, does he push them over the top to get that? I just don't see it happening.
Hold this thought right here. We haven't even gotten to the Jet side of this yet, which for my mental well-being is probably for the best. But we're getting to that in just a couple of minutes. All of you stay close by, and also I'll remind you of today's poll question. It's a good one. It involves this. Go to my Twitter page at ESPN Greeny, and here's the question. I put up the four, what I perceive to be the four top contenders, but you might disagree. Which of these teams do you have going to the Super Bowl from the NFC after this trade? Seahawks, Niners, Bucks, or Saints? At ESPN Greeny on Twitter, we'll have the results at the end of the show. Meanwhile, much more on this, on Jamal Adams. How can one team be the biggest winner and biggest loser of the huge trade at the same time? We will answer that question in about 15 minutes. Before then, Lou Williams, not exactly practicing social distancing, and it's going to cost him and maybe his team in a big way. We'll explain next. Get up on ESPN. Get Up is brought to you by Pizza Hut. Order today at pizzahut.com. All right, we mentioned the troubles with the Miami Marlins. Let me run the bases through some other big baseball stories from the weekend. Astros ace Justin Verlander will miss at least the next couple of weeks with a right forearm strain. He took to Twitter last night to dispute a report that cited 2 sources saying he would miss the rest of the season with the injury, so he says that's not accurate. Let's see where it winds up. Meanwhile, Shohei Ohtani failed to record a single out in his return to the mound yesterday. Angels wound up losing to the A's 6-4. Ohtani faced six batters, gave up five earned runs on three hits and three walks. It was his first start in more than 20 months after tearing his UCL. And it was a rough Mets debut for Rick Porcello. Gave up six earned over just two innings. Braves took the rubber game of a three-game set at Citi Field 14-1. Atlanta hit four home runs, including a moonshot from Austin Riley off the facing of the third deck. And now to basketball, where Clippers guard Lou Williams will face a 10-day quarantine following a league investigation of what Williams did in Atlanta while he was on an excused absence to attend the funeral of a family member. He was seen photographed at a strip club in Atlanta while he was away, and it has raised a lot of questions. And the man who always has the answers for us is Adrian Wojnarowski. Welcome back, Woj. How have these departures, we got Lou Williams in that situation, we got Patrick Beverley was gone, and all of this, how have these impacted the Clippers as they get ready to restart this season?
Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply. Dell Tech Fest starts now. To thank you for 40 unforgettable years, Dell Technologies is celebrating with anniversary savings on their most popular tech. For a limited time only, save on select next-gen PCs like the XPS 13 Plus, where you can make the everyday easier with Windows 11. Unleash more possibilities with cutting-edge systems, their most advanced features, and great prices. Plus, curate your dream setup with deals on select monitors, mice, and more must-have electronics and accessories. When you shop online at Dell.com/deals, you'll have access to state-of-the-art technology to match your forward-thinking spirit and free shipping on everything. Anniversary savings await you for a limited time only at Dell.com/deals. That's Dell.com/deals.
Well, Greeny, this was built to be one of the probably the deepest team in the NBA, and that depth has been tested. Lou Will, that 10-day quarantine takes him in to next week, but I'm told Patrick Beverley landed back in Orlando yesterday. Landry Shamet is back here. Another key backcourt player for the Clippers. And, you know, there's hope that both could be potentially in uniform on Thursday when they started up again against the Lakers. But really for the Clippers, their expectation is they won't have their entire lineup and their team back together until at least the third game of this restart. Marcus Morris is another player who's missed time outside the bubble prior to, but listen, they're playing a long game here, the Clippers are. They're not too worried about seeding. You know, they're going to finish probably second to the Lakers in the West. They want to be healthy together, and, you know, they need to have those players in condition and shape. And Lou Williams, a 10-day quarantine, like, you're not going over to the gym and working out and staying. You're in your room. And so, you know, that certainly is going to set him back, but they've got time here. And that's what the Clippers are hopeful for.
Yeah, the idea of him being sent to his room is sort of appropriate. I know that you're just getting yourself acclimated in the bubble, but you know just how strictly they regard everything. What have you heard as far as reaction to his handling this time away the way he did? Again, being apparently in a strip club during this time when he was excused to go to a funeral.
Yeah, the optics are terrible for the league. And, you know, they have so far been able to protect this bubble and not have any positive tests coming from players who've been in here. And just the way it looks, they're obviously allowing players to leave for a number of different family situations. Some have been funerals, some have been other family-related issues. But they knew, I think the Clippers knew, I think Lou Will and those around him knew, he was going to get popped with this significant quarantine. Just based on how it looked, it just wasn't a smart decision when he got out. And, you know, you talk to general managers around the league and agents, and they know in other instances when players are leaving the bubble, like there's not, for a lot of guys, this tremendous rush to get back in. But there's now starting to be some more urgency because we're getting beyond the scrimmage games. And, you know, the Clippers, the players on that team, they were not surprised Lou Will got popped the way he did.
I have to leave it there for the moment. It is great to see you again, Woj, and we'll do this again every day as we work our way towards this. Let me get Jay Will and Kedrick Perkins in here. And, big fella, I will start with you. This Lou Williams thing, I mean, there's this bubble situation in the NBA, and all of us are trying to work through in and outside of sports requires a level of professionalism and all the rest of that. What is your reaction to the way Lou Williams handled this?
Hey, listen, Greeny, listen, I'm a big guy. I love to eat. I done been to Magic City, the wings of fire. But in this case, in all seriousness, come on, Lou Will, you got to do better, man. During this pandemic, you have to do better. You know, going back into the bubble and just looking inside the bubble, they had zero cases, tested 300. And had zero cases. The NBA, the Players Association, has done a great job by putting together this billion-dollar bubble and keeping everyone safe. Lou, you got to do a better job. And it's crazy, Greeny, because here it is. Lou Will is a 16-year vet. He knows better. He should know how to be more mature. You got a guy that's a rookie in Zion Williamson who left for a family issue, and he handled it way better than Lou. We didn't hear a word. He went down, took care of his business with his family. Now he's back to the bubble. And on another note, it just adds another distraction for the Clippers, for as them trying to win the title. Now they got to answer questions and do media about something that they shouldn't even have to be worried about. They should only be worried about, you know, playing basketball, you know, promoting, you know, making sure they bring awareness to social justice. But now they got to talk about Magic City and Lou Will and chicken wings. It's just not fair, and it was very irresponsible on Lou Will's part.
What do you think, Jay Will?
You know, look, for Lou Williams, I obviously think it was the wrong move. We all have lapses in judgment at times. I don't know what got him in there. I do know that there is a legend of Lou Will. Perk, you know what I'm talking about. And I do know for a fact that he has gone to Magic City so many times just to eat the food. That is his thing. It doesn't excuse his actions, but just to provide context for people out there who don't know the lifestyle that Lou Will lives. You know, the big thing is that, you know, now being quarantined for 10 days, Greeny, if he tests negative, then this becomes a really, really big thing. Then how long is he out? Obviously, a guy averaging 18 points, multiple time winner, sixth man of the year, it's a big thing. If he doesn't test negative, and, you know, if he's going through all this and he's fine, then, you know, if he doesn't test positive, excuse me, then he's fine. You know, then I think the Clippers, they've been dealing with injuries and guys not being fully healthy the whole time. I still have the Clippers as my favorite. I don't think that changes because they still have the most firepower of any other team there is in the league. Yes, there are distractions, but at the same time, the Clippers have been dealing with distractions the whole year, Greeny, the whole year. So I think the Clippers will be fine if Lou Williams is okay.
I get it. I guess I would just say that we're at a place, we opened the show this morning talking about how the Marlins have all of these cases already. If these leagues want to get these things done, it's going to require everyone taking this as seriously as is possible. You couldn't handle it better than the NBA has handled it so far. And I don't care how much you love the wings at that place, you can go without it until September. It just doesn't make any sense. I have to leave it there for the moment. Jay, I'm coming back. I'm up against the bottom of the hour. We'll come back and talk more about it as we go. In the meantime, I got to get back to the football as we continue because I have to talk about what the meaning of this business is with Jamal Adams, how it impacts the Jets, how it impacts the NFC, and much more. That's next. Get Up, ESPN. We are back on Get Up, and as we speak, Jamal Adams is flying to Seattle to undergo his physical after the Jets traded the All-Pro safety to the Seahawks Saturday for a package that includes safety Bradley McDougal and two first-round picks. Here was Damian Woody's take on the trade right after it happened.
I love Jamal Adams. Jamal Adams is one of the, in my opinion, I think Jamal Adams is a top five defensive player in this league. That's how impactful he is. I think the dude is fantastic. But again, at the end of the day, he's a safety. And when you come away with a haul like that, think how much this roster can be changed over just off of one player. One player. Think how much ammo the Jets have right now. I'm telling you, Jet fans, you got to be thrilled.
I heard a lot of people saying things like that. This, by the way, is the fourth trade the last 3 years involving multiple first-rounders for a player. It's the third time since 2018 a defensive player was traded for multiple first-round picks. Before that, it hadn't happened since 1988. And let me bring in two people who know the Jets organization well. Mike Tannenbaum was the general manager of the Jets, and Kimberly Martin. She and I first met when she was covering the Jets on the beat for Newsday. And so, Kimberly, I'll start with you. Just when you heard this trade, what was your reaction relative to who wins and who loses? We just heard Damian Woody say he thinks the Jets did extremely well. What was your reaction?
My first reaction was Joe Douglas got what? For who? I mean, Jamal Adams, great player, but this could be a transformational draft for Joe Douglas. I think he's a big winner because now he puts his stamp on this team. This is his roster. He's got a lot of picks going forward. So this could be good, potentially. This is great for Jamal Adams, but for the Jets fans, you know, you got to wait till next year. That's another thing for them.
Kimberly, the other thought that comes immediately to mind, and I understand that Joe Douglas has nothing to do with what I'm about to say, but Jet fans have not exactly been conditioned to expect great things from their first-round picks. From 2013 through 17, so that's 5 years' worth of picks, the Jets had six first-round picks. Before any of them got to their second contract, they had traded five of them and cut the other. So there is a history of absolutely terrible drafting with the Jets going back over the last, let's call it, decade. It's a little less than that. And thus, could you blame a Jet fan, and I'll just raise my hand, for being skeptical about what to expect here? Kimberly.
No, not at all. Listen, I lived through the Idzik 12. I was in the room on draft day when he took 12 players in 2014. How many of them are still in the league and on this roster? You know, for Jets fans, this is the issue. The Jets have, I understand some fans may not like Gase. Jamal Adams obviously didn't think he was the right guy for this team. But the Jets have a much bigger problem than Adam Gase. It's they cannot, they haven't proven recently that they can draft well and develop really good talent and retain them. Now Joe Douglas gets a chance to prove that he can do that. But John Idzik, Mike Maccagnan were not able to do that. And the team suffers because of it now.
Yeah, Darnold obviously is still there. And then you see all the names that I just mentioned, including Milner, who they cut. And so Mike Tannenbaum, who was the last guy who drafted anybody worth anything with the Jets, let me come to you there and ask you about, I saw in your notes, and you and I have talked about this in the case of Ezekiel Elliott with Dallas, sort of setting a precedent that if someone sort of whines and complains and pouts their way out of town, you move that player, as the Jets did here, and the concern that that sets a dangerous precedent for a team. What are your thoughts on that?
Yeah, absolutely, Greeny. And I sat in that seat and I dealt with the exact situation with Darrelle Revis, where he was mad at me, his agents were mad at me, he wanted a new contract, he was a great player, and we hung in there. I wouldn't trade him, and we figured out a solution. And again, to be clear, I agree with Kimberly. They did get good value for the player. I have some concerns that they will be lower first-round picks. But you do have a precedent now that there will be another player. There will be another agent who feels like I'm underpaid, I'm not starting, whatever the gripe may be. And now there's a blueprint to get out of the Jet organization. So while I think the Jets and Joe Douglas did a good job over the weekend, that is a concern moving forward that there's a blueprint to get out.
What do you, and I know that Adam Gase was the head coach of the Dolphins when you were the general manager there. I know you and he have a good relationship, Mike T. But what is your sense with Jamal Adams coming out and saying what he said, and what he was complaining about seems to be a lot of the same things we've heard about Gase. What is your sense of his standing right now with the Jets in the locker room?
Yeah, and Adam, look, he does a really good job of developing relationships with players one-on-one away from the media. And I'm not saying that every relationship was perfect, far from it. And Jamal Adams may have had some legitimate concerns, but again, there's a time and a place to handle it. And to do it publicly is disappointing and truly not productive most times. I think for Adam moving forward, it comes down to one thing, Greeny, and you're the biggest Jet fan out there. It's the trajectory of Sam Darnold. If this team goes 7-9, but Sam Darnold throws for 40 touchdowns and 3 interceptions, you're going to feel really good. If the team goes 9-7 and Sam Darnold gets benched, you're not going to feel as good. So his job really to me is defined by one sense: how well does Sam Darnold's future look? So that's the job. I think they've done a good job of surrounding better talent. And Adam does have to work at maintaining and developing these critical relationships. I think they did cut their losses in some respect. But if Jamal Adams turns out to be a Hall of Fame player, they're going to look back and feel like they didn't handle this the best way possible.
I understand all that. Kimberly, I'll give you the final word. What is your sense from people you talk to about the standing of Adam Gase in that Jet locker room, particularly with Jamal Adams? Granted, he was trying to get himself traded and it worked, but with him coming out and saying the things he did last week.
I mean, the reputation is what it is. It was largely created in Miami. Select guys just did not like playing for him. If you have Le'Veon, if you have C.J. Mosley, if you have Steve McClendon, guys that are veterans in this locker room who like Gase and defend him publicly, Frank Gore, then that's good publicly, right? But all that matters is wins. And if he doesn't get this team turned around, it won't really matter the relationships he has. He may be out of a job.
Kimberly, Mike T., thank you both very much. Outstanding to catch up with you, and we'll talk further. Let me get Jeff and Booger back into the conversation here, and Diana Russini is with us as well. And Booger, I want to come to you because there's a third part of this trade. There's what Seattle gets, and they get a great player. There's what they give up, and thus what the Jets get, and they get two first-rounders. So you can say that to win on both fronts. But here's my perspective, and the reason I'm coming to you is because you're an LSU guy. And I've talked to you, and I've talked to Marcus, and I've talked to Ryan, three LSU guys. And when the Jets drafted Jamal Adams, what all three of you said was, this is a guy you build a team around. This is a guy who famously said, and somewhat controversially, I'll die on the football field, which is not the right way to put it, but it's kind of the mentality you want in your football players. He was a guy who should have been the emotional leader of a team for a decade, and that's the part of this that bothers me the most about trading him away, and that's what Seattle is getting. Booger, you know him well. What's your thought?
Swimsuit? Check. Sunscreen? Check. Phone charger? Check. Don't forget to pack the 5-Hour Energy. It fits great in a pocket or carry-on, and the alert feeling will help you arrive ready for anything. Now get 20% off when you use the code 5HETRAVEL at 5HOURENERGY.com. Expires April 30th. One-time use only. Not valid with other discounts. Remember, visit 5HOURENERGY.com and use the code 5HETRAVEL to save 20%. Delicious, meat nutritious, and the snack that packs a real protein punch. Wonderful pistachios, one of the highest protein nuts out there. Each one-ounce serving has 6 grams of protein, giving you over 10% of your daily value. Wonderful pistachios also come in a variety of flavors and sizes, perfect for enjoying with family and friends or taking them with you on the go. And you're on the go a lot, taking the kids to school, hopping from meeting to meeting, shopping for groceries. Well, the good news is, not only are Wonderful pistachios a complete protein, providing all 9 essential amino acids, they're also great for all your adventures. So whether you're a pistachio purist who loves cracking open every nut or you prefer the convenience of no-shells pistachios, Wonderful Pistachios has got you covered. Grab Wonderful Pistachios and elevate your snacking game today. Visit WonderfulPistachios.com to learn more.
Well, Greeny, and I think the reason all three of us said that is when you understand football character, that means when you put this guy on the field, is he willing to be the first one in, the last one out? Is he willing to work the hardest when no one's watching? Is he willing to do the little things that's going to make him a great player, not now, but for a long time? And Greeny, every time I've been around Jamal Adams, he's exuded all of those qualities. And I think those qualities don't just pop up for the media. They don't just pop up for a couple coaches. This is who he is. He lives this way each and every day. He breathes, he eats, he sleeps football. That's why you want to build around somebody like this. That's why you want this as a cornerstone. The problem is this, Greening. He's a guy that's really about the fundamentals. Hey, say what you mean and mean what you say. And when the Jets came to him and said, okay, after year three, we realize that we control you for 2 more years, your 4th year and then the 5th year option, we're going to pay you. Jamal Adams took that to heart. He says, okay, you're going to pay me? Fine. We will wait on your first proposal. Proposal never came. And as a man of principle, Greeny, when someone tells you they're going to do something, Jamal Adams believed that. And so everything that me, Ryan, and Marcus said is 100% true. I think the biggest mistake here, forget about the relationship between Gase and Douglas and Adams, okay? Everybody doesn't have to be buddy-buddy. But say what you mean what you say. And when they told Jamal they were going to pay him, and that changed somewhere along the course, Jamal Adams said, oh, wait a minute. Here's what you told me. And this goes against and goes with the consistency of some of the other things that have happened in the organization. I don't want to be here. And so I truly believe he is a cornerstone. He is somebody you believe in. He is a playmaker. I will continue to go to that. I don't worry about positions in this league. I worry about guys that can make plays, and he is one of the top playmakers in football, Greeny.
Diana, let me circle back to you on the Adam Gase question here, because this, I think, is certainly for that team, the biggest question going in here is about the relationships he has there. What is your sense of where he is right now in that locker room?
Well, in terms of just this trade in general, just from talking to those outside the league, before we even get into the Adam Gase thing, there were many GMs and coaches that I talked to over the weekend about it, just trying to get a sense of how they feel about it. Did they think that Seattle made a good deal? And most, and I'd say almost all, felt that the Jets fleeced the Seattle Seahawks here in this trade. So in terms of the move, most are looking at this, and Booger, I'm with you. We know what Jamal Adams is as a player. And, you know, I'm always going to have a hard time knowing that a player is under contract with 2 years left wanting to get a deal. I just don't think the way he went about it was the best. That being said, we know, and Greeny, I know you know this well, Jamal Adams has that personal story to him with his dad, George Adams, who was drafted 19th overall by the New York Jets, had a great few seasons, has a hip injury. His career's over. He lived up close and personal with somebody whose career ended. So you can understand why Jamal wanted that contract extension. But what this does to the Jets organization now, it tells you, and it tells the players out in free agency, it tells players that maybe have interest in coming to play to New York, you can control them. You can do exactly what you want. If you want to get out and you want to make noise and you can, you know, basically get them to make those moves, yes, at the right price. And I know Mike Tannenbaum touched on it, but in terms of Adam Gase here, it hasn't been the best run here for him at this point. In terms of hot seat, I know we talk about it all the time. I think it's pretty clear that Adam Gase is going to be on the hot seat this year.
And Jeff, I'll give you the final word on that thought. How about on the coach being on the hot seat and on the notion that players now will look at that situation and wonder if they can bellyache their way out of town?
Listen, you can't bellyache your way out of town unless you can get two first-round picks and all those things. Most players can't dictate that ability. Let's be honest. Jamal Adams is a special player. He got special value. Most guys are not going to get that, so you can complain all you want. You're still going to be on the same team. I don't love how you go after your coach. You really don't have it. And listen, let me just say this about relationships with head coaches. You don't got to have a relationship with your head coach. He's your boss, man. You show up, you go to work. You think everybody's friends with Bill Belichick? The issue is, can he coach, right? So as we're watching him coach, if the Jets win, nobody cares about the relationship between a head coach and players, man. I mean, the bottom line is, do you go and what Booger said first is the most important, is what he says and what he does. Do those things match up? And the truth of it all, he had no control over the situation. This situation was created before Gase got there. He didn't have contract discussions with Jamal Adams. So, you know, to put all this on him. Now, do you love him as a coach? That's for everybody to discuss. But as far as personal relationship with player and head coach, very few guys have a relationship with their head coach. They go work and they have a position coach and they go home. Bottom line.
All right. That's really well said. I got to leave it there for the moment. We'll come back with more on this as we go. We also are going back inside the NBA bubble and tell you about one huge change you might see from this star that you might not if they were fans in the arena. And speaking of that, the top 10 players in the bubble, both of our analysts have a beef with a glaring omission. You'll hear what that is as we continue. Next, Get Up, ESPN. Back on Get Up, let's run the floor. Inside the bubble, James Harden looks ready to roll. After his late arrival, the Beard played 35 minutes against the Grizz in a scrimmage last night, scored 31 points, 9 assists, 8 rebounds. So a typical James Harden night. Houston won by 15. How about Luka Doncic in yesterday's scrimmage against the Pacers? He fell one assist shy of a triple-double. He had 20 points, 11 rebounds, 9 assists, and just 24 minutes of action. It's been fun to watch these guys working down there in the bubble. And then with Joel Embiid out with calf tightness, Ben Simmons picked up the slack for the Sixers in a scrimmage against the Thunder. He nearly had a triple-double in just 26 minutes. He had 14 points, 11 rebounds, and 9 assists, though he didn't attempt any threes. And Jay Will, as the season officially gets restarted this week, what are your thoughts on Simmons, what he needs to do in order for the Sixers to take the next step, and the impact that maybe being in this bubble without fans might have on that?
Greeny, first and foremost, I feel like I'm Ron Burgundy right now, and I'm in a glass case of emotions when it comes to Ben Simmons. I was obviously at the beginning of the year, I was talking to his trainer, I was watching videotapes of him work out, shooting the ball. I said at the beginning of the year, I thought he could have an MVP type of season if he were willing to shoot the ball. He obviously wasn't able to do that. You know, Brett Brown now is changing him to more of the roller position, which I think is going to be suitable for his game. And I actually think the fact that, look, he took a couple of shots in some of the earlier preseason game, earlier games here before we kick the season off. And here's the thing I do like about the fact that when there are no fans involved, you don't allow any outside distractions to get to you, right? Essentially, what you're watching and what we are going to be watching as the audience and fans is a high-level pickup game. So what I've noticed is when players are playing in pickup games, even though this is going to be NBA playoffs, guys don't worry about fans' reactions, boos, things of that sort. They play a little bit of a looser game because there's not as many distractions around. I'm hoping that if Ben Simmons can at least take shots, then that makes the defense respect him more. He can kick out to guys like Tobias Harris or Shake Milton. If he can be that player, Joel Embiid is able to get back and play at the roller position, I think that's a different dynamic for this team, and I think they're a team that's going to be a dark horse to really cause a lot of disruption in the Eastern Conference.
They're the most interesting team by far because you could see them getting knocked out immediately. Agreed. And you could see them making a very deep run. So, Big Perk, let's talk about the big guy, and that's Embiid, who was ruled out of yesterday's scrimmage with the calf tightness. It's another injury for Embiid. What is your level of concern?
Well, it's always level of concern, Greeny, when it comes to, you know, injuries with Joel Embiid. You got to listen, this is a guy that has a history of having injuries, a guy that sat out his whole rookie year because of an injury, a guy that had a contract, you know, negotiated around his injuries. So when I look at Joel Embiid as a big fella and being off for 4 months, I'm concerned about this. One, I don't know if it's a serious matter or not, but you got to be concerned for a big fella, and especially when you talk about a calf muscle, because you got to take that very seriously, because that could go from a day-to-day to a weekly thing. In no way possible are the Philadelphia 76ers are going to reach their ceiling, which is the second round, without Joel Embiid. They're not going no high. They're not going anywhere past the second round anyway. But in order for them to reach their ceiling, they're going to need a healthy Joel Embiid.
One wonders if this doesn't go well for them, do they decide to move on from the Embiid-Simmons pairing, or do they run it back because this is such unusual circumstances? I did want to get a quick thought from you guys on this top 10 list, meanwhile, because on ESPN.com, some of our NBA experts ranked the players in the bubble, and these were the top 10. All right, so it's LeBron, then it's Giannis, then it's Kawhi. You look at the rest of the top 10, it's a lot of the usual suspects, but there is one name that is blatantly missing. Jay Will, what is the name that is blatantly missing from this list?
I got two names, Greeny, and some of those experts you said, as you alluded to, it wasn't me. It wasn't Perkins. I don't know how you don't have Dame Lillard. I don't know how you don't have Russell Westbrook on that list. I have no idea. Dame is one of the best PGs in the league. And if you watch Russell play this year, granted, at the beginning of the year, it was a little bit of a rocky start with him implementing his style into the system. But that second part, before this whole thing broke down, he was destroying people. He was reminding people every single day, oh, this is why I'm an MVP type of player, because I can get triple doubles consistently and I can dominate by attacking you again to the rim. So the fact that Dame and Russ weren't on that list, That's absurd to me.
The Russ piece of it, I agree. Damian Lillard has talked a little bit about how much he does and doesn't want to play. I sort of get people having some skepticism with that. But Russell Westbrook and James Harden are on pace to be the highest scoring tandem in the NBA since the merger, which was the late 70s. Big Perk, how is Russell Westbrook not one of the 10 best players?
I don't know, Greeny, and it's disturbing to me. Listen, Although Russell Westbrook averaged triple doubles for three straight years with Oklahoma City, to me, he was playing the best basketball of his career. He's shooting a career high at 47%. He's averaging 27 points, 8 rebounds, and 7 assists. And he's been doing a great job. He was leading the league in points in the paint. I changed his name to Russell Westbrook O'Neal. But Greeny, real quick, let me tell you what I had a problem with on this list.
Yeah.
The disrespect to Kawhi Leonard Jordan. He should be number 2 on that list behind LeBron James. Let's not disrespect him and put him at number 3. He should be ahead of Giannis. He beat Giannis just last year. Put Kawhi number 2 and then add Russell Westbrook somewhere in there, and I'm okay with that. Forget that I got to keep fighting every day to prove my love for Pascal Siakam. I'm tired of fighting for him. I love him, but nobody want to give him his just due. But Kawhi should be number 2, and Russell Westbrook should be in that top 10.
And you will forever have the right to fight for Kawhi on this show. You were the first one who said it last April, well before he made one of the great runs in playoff history, that he was the closest thing we had to Jordan. So you forever get Kawhi on your side. NBA Countdown tonight, by the way, 8 Eastern, 5 Pacific. It's on ESPN2 and the ESPN app. And look at the squad. George Sedano hosting with Paul Pierce, Jalen Rose, Jay Will, all the latest from inside the bubble. That's tonight, 8 o'clock on ESPN2. Meanwhile, as we start a new hour here coming up next, major concerns about the coronavirus in baseball. At least 4 players test positive on the same team. The latest is next. What does it mean? Get up on ESPN.